Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. So it doesn't even matter what this call is because they're going to get Tatum for shoving off on Butler. I'm pretty sure of that. Butler stripped the ball, but I thought he stripped it clean. And my guess is they're giving the ball to the Heat because it looked to me like Tatum shoved off. They're going to make it a jump ball. I don't even know what that is, but this game's over. There's 29 seconds left. The Heat are up six. And the Celtics, here's the bottom line. They turn the ball over seven, eight times in the fourth quarter. In the fourth quarter. And the difference was like 12 turnovers or something in the game between the two of them. There was like a 12 turnover differential. And it's just unbelievable to me how badly they controlled the ball, which they didn't control it at all. They turned it over. And they made so many stupid plays, like the smart play to Hayward at his ankles just a minute ago. He turned it over. And here's the deal. What I'd be worried about if I were Miami is Adebayo. He looks like he did some serious damage to his left wrist. He's hurt. And they're going to find out after this game there's something wrong with his wrist. He literally cannot move his hand. He is like in agony. Look at him. He's in a timeout right now. He's in agony. He's got 20 points in the game, 12 boards, four dimes, and he's in agony. Here's the situation there. They're going to, in my opinion, win this series, and they're going to go to the NBA Finals. Mavi, if they don't have Adebayo in the NBA Finals because he hurt his wrist playing the Celtics, they will lose to the Lakers or Denver, as sure as I'm sitting here. I just don't know how they can win without him. Look at him. He was in agony. He's been holding his wrist for the last 5 minutes since it happened. He looks hurt. I mean, I don't know what he did, but he did something to it. I don't know if it looks like his wrist, but it could be his elbow.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
More turnovers for the Celtics. Here's the deal. 16 seconds left, and Miami's going to inbounds, and bottom line is they don't have to shoot, so they got to foul him or steal the ball. So they're trying to trap Hero, but they fouled him. He's the last guy you want to foul because this guy is lethal shooting, and, you know, my guess is he's nailing at the worst one of them. He's not missing both. This kid's money. Can you believe he's 20 years old and he's playing like he's 30, like he's been in the league forever? He has been unbelievable. He's got 36 points in this game. So, boom, he already hit the free throw, and he's just unbelievable. Unbelievable. Perfect from the line, 5 of 10 from downtown, 14 of 21. From the floor. Hero has been the hero of this team, I think, the whole series. I think Dragic and Hero have been the two best players. Of course, he made both free throws because he's a badass. And they're just not going to be able to nail threes and foul them and have them miss any free throws to get the ball back. So now I don't even know. They're complaining about this call now. They want a three-point shot foul, but he's going to get a two. He's going to shoot two. They're not going to give him three. You can't tell me. I have to see it to believe it, but he definitely was trying to shoot beyond the arc. Did you see that, Mafia? It looked to me like he got fouled trying to shoot. Or do you think he was just driving? They're giving him three free throws, I think. They're freaking out. It has to be. Like, look at this. Look at this play. Like, he definitely tried to shoot it, didn't he? When he got fouled, Butler stripped him.
He's I'm behind you, so it's always hard to tell.
Okay, he's got to shoot three here. And I'm not listening, so I have to just see it to believe it. But my guess is he gets three. And if he gets three, they still have a shot to foul. But, you know, Miami's not stupid. They're going to give it to somebody that can shoot free throws like Hero. And they're not going to give it to someone that can't shoot free throws. They're not going to inbounds the ball and give it to Adebayo or even, you know, I don't even know anyone on that team that can't shoot a free throw. I guess the guy they'd want to shoot the free throws is Iguodala or Adebayo. But everyone else hits. He hit all three free throws. Now they call timeout again, and they're going to have to foul. They're down two now. So at this point, they could actually foul. And if the guy made one of two, they could hit a three to tie the game. So I guess it's not over yet. It's not over yet.
He was outside the three-point line, but the ball was at his hip. Unless he's Pistol Pete, he's not really shooting it from down there. Don't give me that all he was trying to shoot.
But in the NBA, if they make any kind of motion whatsoever, like they're shooting, you know they're going to get that call. If he throws his arms up like he's trying to shoot, which is what he did, that's why he got the three. They didn't even question it. They didn't even go over and review it. They just gave it to him. Because
right,
except
he's facing the bench as he was doing that too.
I know, but at first they were complaining because they weren't going to give it to him. But in the NBA, these guys all have Oscars for acting. So he acted like he shot it. The minute he got stripped by Butler, he started the whole flopping of his arms, and that's what got him the three free throws. I agree with you. It was not a shot. Should have been two. Should have been two free throws, and that's all she wrote. But now it's a two-point game because of it. He rattled in two of them, of the three. One was clean. The other two both rattled in. So they got to foul the right person, but I don't think – see, I am just certain that Adebayo's injured. I'm certain. Well, we know he's injured. Everyone's seeing that he's got something wrong with his left arm or his left wrist, his elbow. Something is horribly wrong with him. Okay, they try to inbounds it. They almost steal it, but Butler's got it. They got to foul Butler. So they did with 6 seconds left. He got away. He knocked off some time off the clock. When he caught it, he knocked off 3 or 4 seconds. So this is crazy. these games. That was a dangerous inbounds pass, cross court, up in the air to Butler, and somehow he caught it. Now, this guy, he's perfect from the line in the game, 5 for 5. He's only missed 3 the whole series. He's 20 out of 23. Let's see what he does. If he hits both of them, it's over. It's over if he hits both. If he hits 1 of 2, they got a chance to hit a 3, and Smart fouls out on that foul, so he's done. They have to pray to God that he misses 1, Boston anyway, because if he makes both, it's over. They're not doing this again. They're not going to go down, hit a 3, and foul again. There's not enough time. So this is their last chance. If he misses 1, they're in it. If he, you know, he's got to miss 1. And he bounced it in. It bounced 3 times off the rim. Oh, my God. That was the worst free throw I've ever seen, and it still went in. Now you know he's going to make the second one clean. Because the first one was all the nerves. And he hit the front of the rim. It bounced to the back of the rim, and then bounced twice and went in. That was their chance for him to miss. But he made the other one. The second one was money, and the game's over. There you go. The first one was a bad free throw. The second one was totally perfect. So now the game's over. There's 6 seconds left. They're down 4. So, I mean, they can't win. There's no way they're scoring a 3 and fouling again and getting another chance. At best, if they do it, they'd have to score in 4 seconds. They have to score and then foul and then hope they miss 1. And then in 2 seconds, they have to shoot a 3 and score. That's their only chance. I mean, it's a 2-possession game. So in my view, this game's over. They can't even try to pull that off. Hit a 3, foul, hope they miss 1, and then get another 3 off. And remember, if they miss 1, they have to bring it the length of the court. I'm pretty sure, because they have no timeouts, so they're not getting it at half court. There's not enough time to win the game. And the Heat know it. Mafia knows it. I know it. It's over. You got to admit, I mean, you absolutely have to admit that the Miami Heat are coached better by Spoelstra than the Celtics are by Stevens. I don't care what anybody says. He's outcoached him in this series, you know, hands down, without a doubt. His defensive matchups have been smarter. Their zone, their box and one, their man, everything about it. Walker misses the 3, Hayward hits in the tip. They're down 2, 1 second left, and they foul Butler with 1 second left. So Butler has to miss 1, and then they got to go the length of the floor in 1.1 second to shoot a 3, and that's absolutely impossible. They have to. It's a full court shot. They have to hit a full court shot to win the game. There's no time to dribble and get up court and shoot. They have to throw the ball the length of the court and has to fall in a miracle shot. That's all there is to it. The only way it would work is if they sent somebody to the rim and threw a full length alley-oop. He missed it. He missed the free throw. There you go. They're down. They're down 2 now. So no matter what, they have to shoot a full court heave 3 and it has to fall for them to tie the game. All right, there it is. Now they got to inbounds and hit a full court shot. They throw it the length of the court, and that's it. It's over. 112-109, Heat win, game over. Bodies all over the floor, doesn't matter. The Heat, Dragic, and Hero are laughing because they know they're up 3-1, and they know the Celtics are toast. Bottom line is they beat them once, but they really can't beat them. They struggle against... Look at them. They're laughing. They're dancing. They're all celebrating with Hero because they're kicking their ass so bad in this series because they play defense for 48 minutes and they shoot the ball so well that they really can't be beat by this team because Boston turns the ball over too much and Tatum took off the entire half. Now, I won't deny Tatum had a huge second half. Imagine if he played the whole game that way. Imagine if he played 36 minutes that way, but he only played 24 minutes that way. He played one half of ball tonight. He didn't shoot for the first half. He must have thought that the game was important or something. Albert Manzano will join us next to talk about the Chargers.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn. And most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, for all on the bench. So the Heat win, Hero had, just went off. I think he had 37. The kid's 20 years old, and he just absolutely lit it up. And they're up 3-1 now on the Celtics, 112-109 the final. And then the Tampa Lightning kicked the Stars in the teeth 5-2 tonight. They're up 3-1 in that thing. So unless I'm mistaken, I don't think they scored another goal. So I'm pretty sure that was the final. Anyway. I can't keep track of all of it. I got 5 million things going on here at once. So let me just double check that. 2-1 Tampa now. Yeah, 2-1 Tampa. Sorry. And then so they even the series the other night, and then they won game 3 tonight. So they're up 2-1. And then Friday and Saturday they'll play games 4 and 5. And I think Dallas is in big trouble. And 5-2 was the final. Everybody got in on it. Even Stamkos, who hasn't played in 9 months. He played for 5 minutes, scored a goal, and then I guess got injured again. He's done. They never let him skate again. All right. Gilbert Manzano's our boy from the OC Register, covers the Chargers for us. And we get him on the show as often as possible. And he's back on the bench tonight to talk about that weird story with Tyrod Taylor. What's up, G? How you doing, brother?
Hey, I'm doing well. It feels like I just spoke to you maybe a week ago, but you know something crazy happened when I'm back on so soon.
Hey, listen, you know, we gotta talk about everything going on in the OC. We got to talk about everything going on in L.A. We got to talk about everything going on in Southern California. And then I know it gets everybody all riled up in San Diego when I talk about the Chargers. So it is what it is. And you're a man, G. So, I mean, we got to go back to the well, right?
Yeah, I appreciate you, man. It's always a pleasure to be on your show.
All right, so let me ask you, what the hell happened with this doctor? It's so crazy. I can't even make it up. You have to tell me the story because he punctured his lung, and then you got to be kidding me. Have they didn't fire the guy?
Yeah, when we asked about what's going to be the consequence of what's going to be the aftermath of what happened, because you don't want this happening ever again, you know, that's what you're hoping for. Anthony Lynn said they'll keep it in-house, so details are being discussed. But Anthony Lynn kept repeating that he knows the doctor very well, that he's a good man, he's a good doctor. He's done this before many times. It's never happened. It's not intentional. So it sounds like maybe it could be resolved, you know, maybe they just talked it out, what the hell happened, and, you know, you keep your job and let's move forward. So I don't think the doctor who we don't even know who it is, who remains nameless, will stay on with the Chargers. But overall, it's kind of a bad look because now, you know, as players, you're wondering, you know, is this going to happen to me? Am I okay? So overall, it's like a whole new trust factor that the team has to get again. And that's something Anthony has to deal with. Maybe he didn't want to deal with, you know, a couple of days ago. So it's more on his plate. But for Anthony Lynn to sit there and ask, and he was asked a couple of times, you know, why aren't you angry? And why aren't you showing emotion? Because he's a guy who doesn't really hold back his emotions. But this, he really understood the doctor. He must have a good relationship with the doctor. So I guess they're patching it up and they're trying to move forward.
So explain to me, how is it that nobody knows who this guy is? Do they not know who the team doctors are, or is there too many of them you have to guess?
There's a good amount. You know, you don't want to, you know, there's actual doctors, there's trainers, there's like a, you know, the head trainer who kind of just talks to Anthony Lynn and gives him the notes and stuff like that. So there is a pretty big staff there. I'm not really sure who it is. You know, even when Adam Schefter had his report, he didn't name the doctor either. So I think they're going to try to keep that on the wraps as much as possible. You never know. Nowadays, things leak out, and then you start getting the whole history of the doctor and the track record and what they've done wrong and this and that. So that wouldn't surprise me if that comes out. For the Chargers' sake, hopefully they're probably thinking that does not happen. But it's just a wild story. And it's crazy to think that maybe Justin Herbert's debut, or I guess his first time coming out, the Chargers is going to be linked to the story forever, which is kind of a wild thing to think. And it's also crazy for Anthony Lynn to kind of, you know, I don't know if he's picking sides, but you never want to have a player lose his job based on the medical team's mishap. So now he has to kind of figure out, you know, this is another thing that they put on his plate because it was a mistake. He has to figure out how to say the right thing to Tyrod Taylor and then keep the fan base under control, because they all want to see Justin Herbert. This is not supposed to happen in week two. Just from this one mistake from the doctor, there's a bunch of, you know, situations, storylines, you know, surrounding the whole thing now. And it's a kind of a big distraction moving forward.
So let me ask you this question, Gilbert. Do you think because I thought Herbert looked great against the Chiefs. In fact, I had the Chargers and the 8.5 points, and I actually had the Chiefs to win and the Chargers to cover. And so I got lucky and hit both ends of it. But I have to tell you that I was really excited watching him play. I thought he had a nice command of things. You know, everybody's talking about Joe Burrow, how great he looks, and the confidence he has, and he's got the look in his eyes and all this other nonsense. The bottom line is that Herbert got thrown into the mix like 5 minutes before the game, and he went out there with no notice and no warning and just played his ass off. And, I mean, at some level, somebody has to say he's better than Taylor.
Yeah, you know, it's tough because I keep figuring out why Anthony Lynn, you know, so supportive of Tyrod Taylor when, you know, from one game we could tell that Justin Herbert is the better quarterback. You know, you still got to keep in mind, you know, when there's film out there, defenses are going to make adjustments, how to react to those adjustments. Long-term picture, we've seen these guys these rookie quarterbacks kind of impress off the bat, and they kind of, you know, fall off a hill. We've seen that with Daniel Jones, Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold. It's all about, you know, kind of being consistent. So I think Anthony Lynn is trying to, like, think about the long picture. But you're right, that one performance from Justin Herbert was pretty outstanding. It really impressed me. I know maybe it is a little benefit that he didn't have to think about, you know, the pressure, you know, just being inside of his own head to go into a game and face Patrick Mahomes and the defending Super Bowl champions. They're opening up a new stadium, SoFi Stadium. I know there was no fans there, but all those little things probably maybe could have been in his head the whole week. Maybe it could have been a good thing that he kind of just came out and played a good game. But, you know, just to kind of put that aside, just from what he did from, you know, a lot of people from the draft were talking about, you know, he's a guy who can read defenses, not so accurate, but a strong arm, very mobile. He kind of proved a lot of doubters wrong because he was very accurate. He just played touch, timing on throws. So screen throws of Austin Eckler were pretty spot on. Keenan Allen, who relies on rhythm and timing, he got Keenan Allen involved. And then he had that pretty throw to Keenan Allen and double coverage. That's kind of what you were expecting to come out maybe in year two, and he's putting all together in one game. I think Justin Herbert, you know, was you know, passed with flying colors, outstanding. And just to kind of just to learn that you're gonna make your debut with 1 minute notice is kind of a wild story to think, but just looking overall, I think the Chargers fans should be very excited. It's going to be tough if Anthony Lynn does go back to Tyrod Taylor, but at least Chargers fans could know that there is a lot of potential for your number 6 overall pick from this year's draft.
So do you think they made a mistake in the overtime punting the ball? What did you think of that call?
Yeah, I think so. I know Anthony Lynn wants to extend the game, but if you're giving it to Patrick Mahomes, you kind of already know. You sealed their faith. You know what's going to happen. It's going to take a little longer, but at least with the 4th-and-1 from your own 34, you're giving yourself a chance to fight another day. And I think Anthony Lynn's been been hounded about that from us reporters the last couple of days. You know, what's the thinking there? And he finally gave us a little glimpse into what he was thinking on that 4th-and-1 today. And he said it was unfair to Justin Herbert because Justin Herbert was not the starter during practices, especially from training camp to now. He was not seeing those first team reps. He was not in situations, stuff like that. I think a lot of what Justin Herbert was doing was he was learning on the fly, which is even more impressive. And I think to Anthony Lynn, he said it wouldn't be fair to put him in a situation that they haven't practiced on. But it's just a little strange because they were running the ball pretty well that game. Josh Kelly and Austin Eckler. If you don't want to put the ball in Justin Herbert's hand, why not just give it to Josh Kelly or Austin Eckler to get you the 1 yard and at least try? But Anthony Lynn wanted to rely on his defense, which the defense was pretty outstanding on Patrick Mahomes for 3 quarters, but they were pretty gassed out at the end. So it's still a little head-scratcher. But I think you're right. It was kind of a thing where maybe Anthony Lynn looks back and he probably thinks to himself, I probably should have gone for it on 4th-and-1.
So, respectfully, I got about 90 seconds. How do you think they'll do against the Panthers, and what did you think of the stadium?
Well, I think the stadium is outstanding. I wish there were fans there, but it's a beautiful place with the massive video board, and the field looks amazing, but, with the Chargers colors on there. But for this Sunday, I think, the Chargers should – I think I'm sure they are favorites, but they should probably win pretty handily. The Panthers haven't done too well. They're not good defensively. There's no Christian McCaffrey. Teddy Bridgewater has shown to score some points with his new offense with the Panthers and Matt Rhule. But I think this is a game the Chargers should win. This is a game that Justin Herbert could look good against his defense. If he could do it against the Chiefs, he could do it with the Panthers. But I think the weeks coming up, if Justin Herbert is still the guy, the schedule gets a little tough. They play the Buccaneers, they play the Saints after that. But this could be a good week for Justin Herbert to get into a groove.
All right, listen, G, don't go see that doctor. stay away from the doctor. You don't want him helping you out any. You never know what could happen. He could break a rib, tear a rib cartilage, puncture a lung, maybe give you a double hernia. Good having you on, G. I'll catch up with you soon. Thanks for coming on the bench. All right, Saturday night on Showtime pay-per-view, the Charlo doubleheader, 6 compelling fights. 5 of them are title fights. The WBC super welterweight champ, Jermell Charlo, takes on Hayson Rosario for the 154-pound championship welterweight style. Then the WBC middleweight champ, Jermall Charlo, takes on Sergey Dariushenko, the Ukraine, tough guy, New York City-based. They're going to go at it. And then you got these other fights, which are incredible. 4 undercard matchups across 2 shows feature some of the best 118, 122-pound divisions, including world champs Figueroa and Casimiro, number 1 ranked contender Neary, 2 WBA, number 2 ranked fighters in Roman and Payano, all fighting. So there's 2 3 fight cards. Let me explain it. 2 3 fight cards. So there's 3 fights, then there's a 30-minute intermission, then there's 3 more fights. So 2 different cards. Charlo's fighting on both of those cards, 1 each, and it's $74.99. So like $75, you get these 2 incredible pay-per-view cards back-to-back with a 30-minute intermission. It starts at 7 Eastern on Saturday, 4 Pacific. Call your cable operator, order the fight, or go to Showtime app or Showtime.com to order it. 5 title fights out of 6 and 2 separate 3-card 3 fight cards. Just incredible. I can't believe it. It's going to be fantastic. Showtime pay-per-view Saturday night. Don't miss it. The Charlo doubleheader. Believe me, the Charlo brothers mean business, too. They're both great fighters. They're dangerous. I had Brian Custer on today. He's the voice of Showtime Boxing. He said that he had him on his Last Stand podcast, and all they did was argue. They're so competitive, these two brothers, that they want to beat each other's ass. but they're in different weight classes, welterweight and middleweight. So maybe they could figure that out, and just one of them can just eat more food, and then they could finally beat each other's ass, and that'd be a hell of a fight when you think about it. Maybe they should set that up for a pay-per-view. Anyway, I want to go back to, you know, baseball for a second. I know Tampa clinched tonight the East crown for the first time since 2010. These games are going on. As far as the Rays, they beat the Mets 8-5. That's how they did it. So they clinched at Citi Field on Mafia's Mets. And then the A's lead the Dodgers right now 4-2, top seven at Chavez Ravine. And the Giants have to win. They're up 5-2 on the Rockies after five innings at Oracle in the city. The Blue Jays 14-1 over the Yankees. They slaughtered them tonight. Robbie Ray was going for Toronto 14-1. Talk about taking the night off. Pirates beat the Cubs 2-1. That's inexplicable. Pirates are so atrocious. Oh my God, do they suck? And I'm a Pirate fan. That's what's wrong with me. I got all kinds of issues. The Red Sox beat the Orioles 9-1. The Angels beat the Padres in the afternoon at Petco 5-2. So the real story there was Clevinger got hurt. And it's his bicep they're talking about. And who knows what it is. They're going to have an MRI, but that just does not sound good. If they lose Clevinger, that changes the Padres postseason dramatically. That's what they got him for. Obviously, they got him for another year, too, so that's great. But Clevinger got hurt today, and that's terrible news for the Padres. Hopefully, he's all right. You know, it doesn't sound good. The Phillies beat the Nationals 12-3. That was after they got swept in a doubleheader on Tuesday night, and they blew the second game when they got the lead in extra innings. They still lost. That's because of that stupid-ass seven-inning doubleheader rule. You get a runner at second every time you go to the plate, and anything can happen. The Diamondbacks beat the Rangers 7-3. The Indians over the White Sox 3-2. Reds 6-1 over the Brewers. I mean, Bauer was just dealing tonight. He was striking guys out and walking off the field like Conor McGregor. He had the whole arm flap thing going, the strut. The Mariners beat the Astros 3-2. Braves 9-4 over the Marlins. Twins beat the Tigers 7-6. And the Royals again beat the Cardinals 12-3. I mean, the Royals have just been kicking the Cardinals' ass last night, tonight. Meanwhile, I said on Coast to Coast, I'll say it here too, the Cardinals will lose every game the whole week. And if they get into the playoffs, they'll win every game they play. Watch what happens. Every time they're in the playoffs, every time they're in the postseason, they win. That's it. They could have a 40-game losing streak and go to the playoffs, and they'll win 20 straight. All they ever do is end up in the World Series, and no one even can argue it. It always happens. But they lost again tonight, and it's crazy. I keep betting on them, and they keep losing. I just can't even believe it. The Royals suck. And they just keep killing me. Thank God I had it as my 11th play out of, I think it was 15 games. So I don't trust them. And I think they're playing again tomorrow. So it is what it is. Every game, basically, in these last few days, so Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, it's just going to be crazy in baseball because there's so much availability in the National League for who's going to make it. And right now, I think, unless I'm mistaken, the American League side is pretty much set. I mean, I could be wrong, but I think there's some level of that going on, you know, in terms of, I just want to look at the league standings. So as far as the wild cards, so I have to get this exactly right. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So there you go. The last team's in. Yeah, it's definitely over as far as who's getting in the American League. And then in the National League. So right now, Philadelphia is a half game out. So is Milwaukee. So San Francisco, in the very moment, if they finish their game off and win, I guess they'd have a game lead because they would move ahead of Miami. Miami would slide down into the last spot and have a half game lead. That's it, over Philadelphia and Milwaukee. Mafia, do you think at the end of the day that Miami, which is going to, because the Giants are going to win and the Marlins are going to lose, they're going to slide down to that eight spot. Do you think the Marlins are actually going to miss the playoffs now after all of this? Because they're hanging on by a thread, by a half game, and there's still 4 days left and they could easily blow it.
Well, of course they are, because that would completely be what the Marlins do. I mean, everyone gets hyped on. They get excited about this team after, you know, they start off with the whole COVID thing. And it's, oh, my God, how could you even let this team be in the league? They're so stupid. Then they come back with these no names and start winning and, you know, making a name for themselves this year and surprising everybody's. Oh, well, you know, Jeter must have done a great job building up the organization. Look at all these guys who we never heard of playing great. And then they're going to just blow it again. That's completely a Marlins type of season right there.
I mean, it really is, isn't it? I mean, so right now, as it stands this very minute, it's Philly and Milwaukee a half game behind San Francisco, but they're going to pick up a half game when they win, right? So I think Miami will have the last spot, and then San Francisco would be a half game ahead of them.
The only way they can make this more of a Marlins season is if once the regular season is over, or once, you know, whatever is done, where we can start making moves into the, you know, the quote unquote winter, they trade anybody who played well for them this year.
But listen, you know, bottom line is this: St. Louis, Cincinnati, Miami will all have, or St. Louis, Cincinnati, and San Francisco will all be 11 games out. Philadelphia 12, Milwaukee 12, and then the last team would be Miami at 11.5, a half game lead for them, and a one game lead for all those other teams that I mentioned. So they could all blow it in the last 4 days. All of them could blow it. If you lose three of four, if you're any of those teams, St. Louis, Cincinnati, Miami, San Francisco, and Philly, not one of them can afford to lose any games at all. If you lose two of four, you're out. You lose three of four, it's over. Bottom line is they all need to win three of four. And I don't think that they can. Whatever they got left. And what's crazy is it's not three of four. I'm talking about 3 or 4 days. The Cardinals are actually playing all those makeup games. In 4 days, they got like six games, don't they? Don't they have 6 or 7 games? They got doubleheaders out their ears. I think
right,
that's exactly.
Week and a half, they were off.
They missed all those games because of the COVID, so they got to make them up, and they're going to play them all in the next 4 days. They're playing double headers. I could be wrong, but I think it's like Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. They play a couple double headers. So it's not just winning 3 out of 4. It's winning for 3 days out of 4 days. They have to win games. They have to rack it up. That could be an advantage or a disadvantage. If you have all those games left, you could win them all and get in easily, or you could blow it by losing them. Like the Cardinals right now are losing to the Royals back-to-back. If they keep losing, they're going to blow it. I mean, that's just all there is to it. Now, I love watching these post-game interviews. Is there anything duller than listening to these guys like the Celtics with all of their excuses or why they're getting their ass beat? I mean, it's 3-1 now. It's like toast. Do you know that they are 11-0, the Miami Heat? 11-0 when they are up 3-1 in a playoff series. They've never lost. Spoelstra doesn't lose when he's up 3-1. They're 11-0 in this scenario. Do you think for 1 minute, Mafia, that the Celtics are winning this series now down 3-1?
No, I don't, because they've lost every which way. They've been up in the first two games, up big. Miami came back and beat them. They were up like – they went up huge in the first game. They were up. They were in control. Miami came back and beat them, you know, in the fourth. Then they're up big at halftime in the second game. Miami comes back and beats them. Third game, they figure it out. Okay, well, they take control and they win. So you say, okay, maybe they finally got this figured out. And then they come in this game and they lose the whole game pretty much. I mean, they were up in the beginning of it, but Miami controlled most of that game. You let a kid who is barely, you know, even growing facial hair score almost 40 on you. you've lost every which way, and you outthought yourself. Like I said, Brad Stevens is changing his rotation for this game. After they just won, he's changing the way he's putting guys out there, and it completely screwed him up. They had a terrible first half. Tatum picked it up in the second half, but in the first half, he didn't look like himself, and they get lit up by Hero. This is not their series. You know, Miami's found every which way to win. Unless Adebayo is out, unless we find out that that wrist is more serious than they're probably going to let on right now, and that he can't play the rest of the series, that's the only chance I think they have of coming back and winning this.
Do you think Hero, like, he's got like those five whiskers sticking out of his chin that he should just, like, somebody needs to tell him that it looks terrible and he should just cut them off? I mean, honestly.
No, that's half the fun of, like, the playoff beard or half, you know, playoff facial hair is seeing who can't grow it and is trying anyway. Like, he's, you know, you get, like, these 17-year-old NHL players that can't even get, you know, half a mustache, let alone a full beard. It's fun watching them try to do that.
Well, he can't grow anything, but he's got, like, three hairs sticking out of his chin, and it's really annoying looking. But his game is not annoying looking with that 37 spot he laid down tonight. That's the most ever.
A luck neck beard, all right, so let him grow whatever he wants. It's not a luck neck beard. We're okay.
That was a that is the most points ever by a rookie or whatever in NBA history in a conference finals. 37 points. Before that, it was like Andrew Toney at 35 points. I saw the stats. Charts and graphs. I saw the number. Hero broke the all-time record tonight with that 37 spot. He was unbelievable. He was scoring all the way to the bitter end. To the bitter end, he was lighting it up. When we come back, we'll try to hook up with Morenci. Sports Rage will be next on Sports Grid Radio Overnights. All right, I'll see you freaks tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern on Coast to Coast. Morenci's up next with Sports Rage. Gabe, what did you think of the Lightning just crushing the Stars tonight? I bet on Tampa, and I think they're in big trouble, the Stars, because it's like now they're really like skating circles around them.
Yeah, you know, normally, Scotty, especially in the NHL playoffs, momentum doesn't really exist. It's sort of shift by shift. It doesn't exist game by game. But you really get the feeling right now that Tampa is starting to take control. And, you know, forget about momentum. Just they're starting to come together right now, right? I mean, they've had so much disappointment in past years. They're just in a zone right now. The people have doubted them all the way through. I know you've liked them through the playoffs. People doubted them. Every time they lose one game in the playoffs, oh, here we go again, right? Tampa sucked. They're chokers. So it looks like they're about to slay this beast. There's still, you know, still work to be done. You know, Dallas is going to freaking bring it, bro, in the next game. But I think Tampa has control of this thing, and they're going to win the cup. Big night in Florida tonight, if you think about it. And as if they need a reason to be crazier than they already are in that state. But in Tampa, the Rays win a division for the first, yeah, whatever, win a division this year. But they win a division for the first time in 10 years since 2010. The Miami Heat win and the Tampa Bay Lightning win.
That yeah,
night
no
before
doubt.
The bookie, Scotty.
Yeah, no doubt about it. No doubt. Do you think Stamkos had a goal, but then he got injured again, it looks like?
Yeah, I know. I don't know what the exact status of him moving forward. I think just that emotional lift that he brought in. I mean, he just scores on his first shot in nearly 7 months. But I think they can get it done. Listen, they got this far without him, right? So it's nice that he got a goal in the cup, though.
All right, Morenci, have a great show. Sports Rage is up next. I'll see you guys tomorrow. Great job, Mafia. Good night, everybody.
Ever wondered how a book gets made into a movie?
Or how to master the art of cooking?
Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef.
On our podcast, we're going to be serving you a fresh perspective of the entertainment industry alongside our favorite celebrity guests.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.